All right, well, we're there in Genesis chapter 1. Look down at verse number 27. I want you to notice what the Bible says. The Bible says there, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created them. Genesis chapter 1 is obviously the passage, the first chapter in the Bible talks to us about the creation of man and the creation of the world. And the Bible tells us here that God created man in his image, male and female created he them. And verse 28 says, and God blessed them. I want you to make note of that phrase, God blessed them. And God said unto them, and I want you to notice what the Bible says here. It says God blessed them, and then it tells us what that blessing was. Here's how God blessed them, because today, you know, we live in this society of Christianity. A big thing today is what's known as the prosperity gospel. And people will come to church, and they want somebody to, you know, prophesy that they're going to get $1 million, and they're going to, if you serve God, you're going to drive a Mercedes, and you're going to have a big house, and this and that, you know. And sometimes people come to church because they want to be blessed. But I want you to notice how God blessed Adam and Eve. He said, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, notice he didn't promise them a Mercedes or a big house. He didn't promise them a great job. He said, be fruitful and multiply. He said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. This morning I want to speak to you for a few moments on this idea of being fruitful and multiplying, on the idea of having children. And I want to go ahead and say this, the things that I'm going to talk about this morning may be something that you've never heard of before, maybe something that's a little controversial. We're going to look at a lot of Bible this morning, so I kind of need you to, you know, put your thinking cap on and pretend like you did get that extra hour of sleep and be ready to look at all the different verses. But here's the main thing I want to say is, don't, if this is something you haven't heard before, do me a favor, don't get all defensive and just shut me down before we've even, you know, gotten into the sermon and say, I'm not going to listen to this. The Bible says this, you don't have to turn there, but Psalm 139 in verse 23 says this, search me, O God, and know my heart, try me, and know my thoughts. That ought to be our prayer as we come to church, and we ought to ask God to search our hearts and to show us, you know, what the truth of the is from the Word of God. And I just want you to be defensive, even if you walk out this morning and say, I don't agree with anything he said, I'd like you to keep an open heart and an open mind to look at what the Bible says, because we're going to look at a lot of Bible, and it's going to go against what our society has taught us and what our society has brainwashed us into thinking. And let me go ahead and say this, you know, the reason that people come to Verity Baptist Church is because we preach the Bible. And because we don't compromise and we don't, you know, people don't really come here because of our great music, you know, program that we have. Now, I love our music. I think the old hymns are great, you know, but that's not why people come here, you know. They don't come here because our ushers look good, because, you know, look at them. They don't come here because of any, you know, our great facilities or whatever. They come here because we preach the Bible, because we teach the Bible in heavy doses. So I want you to just kind of be ready. Look at what the Bible says. And here's what I want you to notice that the Bible says in verse 28. The Bible tells Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply. And then God said this. He said it was a blessing. I want you to understand that there is a blessing in being fruitful and multiplying. And here's why this is a big deal, is because today we are taught in our society that having children is not a blessing. If anything, it's a curse. You know, having children is not a good thing in our society today. And if you have a lot of children, you know, you are irresponsible, you are not intelligent, you are this and you are that. But here God tells us that when he told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and to multiply, he blessed them. He was blessing them by telling them that. And I want you to notice what he says. This is not a command that was just to Adam and Eve. This is a command that was given to all mankind. Because notice what the Bible says in verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. Then notice what he says. He says, and replenish the earth. You see that word replenish? The word replenish means to fill again. And the idea is, here's why God did not say to them, you know, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Because if he would have said, fill the earth, then here's what we would have said, oh, that was just to Adam and Eve. But the fact that he said, replenish the earth, tells us that this is an ongoing command. Because the earth is going to get full, and of course people are going to die, and people are going to have to be replaced. They're going to have to be replenished. Now, let me go ahead and say this to answer the question, you know, because some people will look at that term replenish, and they'll say that teaches the gap theory. The gap theory is this theory that says that when that God did not create the earth in 7 literal days or 6 literal days, and that the earth was created, you know, every day is like millions of years, and it's trying to combine Christianity with the theory of evolution and say that people evolved, and that's why he said to replenish the earth. But if you notice there in Genesis 1, as you read the creation story, notice that he says, you know, the evening and the morning were the first day. The evening and the morning were the second day. The evening and the morning. The fact that he's telling us there's an evening and there's a morning is telling us there's a 24-hour period there. God created the earth in 6 literal 24-hour days. He didn't say the evening and the morning and the evening and the morning and the evening and the morning and the evening and the morning, you know, 1,000 times, and this was the first day. He says the evening and the morning was the first day, and God created the earth in a literal 24-hour period. So when he's telling us here to replenish the earth, it's a command he's given all of us. He's telling us that our job is to fill the earth, and he tells us to be fruitful and to multiply. And I want you to notice it's a blessing. There's a blessing in having children. There's a blessing in being fruitful. Go to the book of Genesis. You're there in Genesis chapter number 9. Look at verse number 1. Genesis chapter number 9. I'd like you to notice that God says the same thing to Noah. In Genesis chapter number 9, look at verse number 1. Remember Noah, after God destroyed the earth with a flood, he gets off the ark, and God makes a statement to Noah, Genesis chapter 9 and verse 1, and God blessed. I want you to notice that term again. It's a blessing. God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. And notice what he says, replenish the earth. Now, people will often say, well, yeah, you know, he had to replenish the earth because it had been destroyed. Or Adam and Eve had to, you know, fill the earth or replenish the earth because it was empty. But this is a command that you find throughout the Bible. Let me give you another example. Go to Genesis 28. Look at verse number 1. In Genesis chapter number 8 and verse number 1. And what I want you to notice is that God associates... Look, whether you want to have a lot of children or not, that's between you and God. It doesn't really make a difference to me. But here's what I want you to understand. God associates being fruitful and multiplying with a blessing. And today we are being taught and we are being brainwashed into thinking that having a lot of children is not a blessing. It's a curse. It's not a good thing. It's being irresponsible. That only ignorant people have a lot of children, and that if you're smart and you're sophisticated, then you'll limit the amount of children you have. But God says it's a blessing. The Bible says there in Genesis 9:1, God blessed Noah, and he told him, be fruitful, multiply. Are you there in Genesis 28? Look at verse 1. Now, in Genesis 28:1, the earth was full. All right, this isn't Isaac and Jacob getting off the ark, but notice what the Bible says in Genesis 28:1. And Isaac called Jacob, and notice these words, blessed him. You say, well, how did he bless him? Notice what he said. And charged him and said unto him, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. Verse 3, and God Almighty, notice these words, bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people. I want you to just understand. Not the way that Obama thinks, or not the way that Mrs. Obama thinks, or not the way that Sesame Street teaches our children today, or not the way that whatever, Hillary Clinton, or whoever you want to put in there, you know, that category, Dr. Phil. Don't think the way the world thinks, but think, when you look at what God says, here's what God said. And by the way, if you get offended because I mentioned Obama, let me just go ahead. Donald Trump, George Bush, you know, whatever politician are, you know, whatever, they're all thieves, they're all bad, I don't like any of them, all right? So there. If you're all thoroughly offended, we can move on. So he says, be fruitful and multiply, and he says it's a blessing. He says it's a good thing. And here, Isaac blessed Jacob, and he said, be fruitful and multiply. He said, be a multitude of people. Go to Genesis 35. Look at verse number 11. Genesis 35, verse number 11. Genesis 35, 11. Churches today become so political, and they're there to push some, you know, we're here to push the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? You know what the answer for America's problems is? It's not the White House, it's God, it's Jesus Christ, it's the King James Bible, it's the preaching of the Word of God. And really, it's what I'm going to teach you this morning. This is the answer for fixing America. If you want to figure out how to fix America, we're going to talk about it right now. Where are you? Genesis 35, look at verse 11. Notice what the Bible says. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty, be fruitful and multiply. Notice what he says. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. See, God is telling them to be fruitful. God is telling them to multiply. God has told them it's a blessing. God has told them it's a good thing. You're there in Genesis. Go to the book of Leviticus. You got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Very next, just two books down, Leviticus chapter number 26. Look at verse number 9. Leviticus 26. I just want to show you these verses to kind of lay the foundation so you can see that this is found all throughout the Bible. I'll keep the references close to each other, though, so you can find them quickly. Leviticus 26, look at verse 9. For I will have respect unto you. Now look, having respect, the Bible often says, you know, that God is no respecter of persons, meaning that he's not going to treat you worse than he does anybody else. We're all sinners when it comes to God. But here's what he's saying. If you want me to show you favor, if you want an additional blessing, if you want me to do something good for you, he says, for I will have respect unto you. And then notice what he says, and make you fruitful and multiply you and establish my covenant with you. Notice how when God says, I want to do something good for you, he's saying, let me give you children. Let me make you fruitful. Let me help you multiply. He's not saying, let me give you a car. He's not saying, let me give you some you know, a vacation. He's not saying, let me purchase a cruise for you. He's saying, let me give you fruit. You become a multitude and multiply. Go to Deuteronomy chapter number 8. You're there in Leviticus. You got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. It's the fifth book in the Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Look at verse number 1. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse number 1. Notice what the Bible says. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live, and notice this word, multiply. He said, I want you to live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 30, look at verse 5. You're there in Deuteronomy 8, go to Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse number 5. The Bible says this, and the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it, and he will do thee good. How are you going to do me good, God? Notice, and multiply thee above thy fathers. He said, he will do thee good, and he said he will multiply. He said, I'm going to bless you, and he says, be fruitful and multiply. Here's what I want you to understand. God, as far as God is concerned, being fruitful and multiplying is a blessing. It's a good thing. It's not a negative thing. Go to Deuteronomy chapter number 30. Look at verse number 16. You're there in chapter 30. Skip down to verse number 16. Notice what the Bible says. And that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land where thou goest to possess it. Notice the connection between a blessing and multiplying. A blessing and having children. You don't have to turn there. Psalm 127:3 says this, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Here's what I want you to understand. God considers having children a blessing. It's a good thing. But today we are told that having children is a bad thing. It's negative. It's not good to have children, and here's why. Satan has an agenda on this planet, and Satan has a plan that he's trying to bring to pass. And you know, one of the things that we're being taught today, and the reason that people look down on people having a lot of children or people multiplying and being fruitful, the reason people think it's not a blessing is because of satanic brainwashing that, you know, we're told today that the world is overpopulated. And it's this environmental, you know, the world is overpopulated, and we got to save the environment. And you know what that teaching is meant to destroy nations? Because God tells us that the strength of nations is its people. The more there are of us, the stronger we become, individual nations. But Satan wants to destroy nations because he wants to unite the entire world together under a one world government, under a one world system. But here's the thing: it's easier to unite a few people than to unite, you know, 7 billion people. And you know what's interesting? And go you're there in Deuteronomy. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter number 1, and let me read for you here a little article that I got about the Georgia Guidestones. Who's ever heard of the Georgia Guidestones? They're known as the Stonehenge of America. And you may have never heard of it. Let me read for you a little bit about the Georgia Guidestones. The Georgia Guidestones is a granite monument erected in 1980 in Elbert County, Georgia. A set of 10 guidelines is inscribed on the structure in 8 modern languages, and a shorter message is inscribed at the top of the structure in 4 ancient languages, which are Babylonian, Classic Greek, Sanskrit, and Egyptian hieroglyphics. So these are meant to be like a monument, and they have 10 guidelines. You know how God has his 10 commandments? This is like Satan's 10 commandments, his 10 guidelines for the world. And, a message consists of a set of 10 guidelines or principles is engraved on the Georgia Guidestones in 8 different languages, 1 language on each face of the 4 large upright stones, moving clockwise around the structure from due north. These languages are English, Spanish, Swahili, Sanskrit, Hebrew, Arabic, Chinese, and Russian. Now, I'm not going to read for you all 10 of these guidelines, but these are the guidelines that, Satan and the evil forces out there, basically what they want to get our world to become. And let me just read for you a few of them. Here's guideline number 1. Maintain humanity under 500 million in perpetual balance with nature. Now here you say, well, 500 billion, what's the problem with that? Here's the problem with that. There's 7 billion people on Earth. Okay? So to get the population of planet Earth from 7 billion to 500 million, you got to get rid of a lot of people. And their agenda is to get the world population down to 500 million people. Here's the second guideline. To guide production wisely, improving fitness and diversity. Now, I'm all for fitness and, diversity or whatever, but they want to guide reproduction. Here's what they're saying. They want to control it. They want to control the amount of births. They want to control the amount of people. Because, see, Satan's against everything that God's for. God says, be fruitful and multiply. God says, replenish the earth. God says, fill it up. And then Satan says, no, let's not be fruitful. Let's not multiply. In fact, let's decrease it. There's 7 billion on earth. Let's bring it down to 500 million. Let's guide reproduction wisely. Here's guideline number 3. Unite humanity with a living new language. Doesn't that sound like the New World Order? I mean, doesn't that sound like the coming Antichrist, one world government, one world religion? Here's guideline number 6. Let all nations rule internally, resolving external disputes in a world court. Now, that doesn't sound like the Antichrist. I don't know what does. Here's number 10. Be not a cancer on the earth. Leave room for nature. Leave room for nature. Here's what they think. They think humanity is a cancer on earth, and we need to be gotten rid of. And what they're pushing is this agenda, and our kids are being taught it in the public school system. They're being told there's too many people on planet Earth. Don't multiply, don't reproduce, and they're telling us that it's wrong to have children. But here's what God said. God says it's a blessing. And by the way, let me tell you this. God doesn't think the world is overpopulated. Let me prove it to you. Are you there in Deuteronomy chapter 1? Look at verse number 10. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 10. Notice what the Bible says. The Bible says this: the Lord your God hath multiplied you. That's a good thing. He's talking to the children of Israel. And behold, ye are this day as the stars of heaven for multitude. For the Lord God of your fathers make you, notice what he says, 1,000 times so many more as ye are, and bless you. Again, notice that it's a blessing as he hath promised you. Now, if you look at the scriptures and you study the numbers, we believe, and it's a pretty accurate number, I think, that the nation of Israel, at the time that they left Egypt, there was 3, maybe 4 million people in that nation. And here God, I want you to notice verse 11, he says, hey, the Lord God of your fathers make you 1,000 times more as ye are. They were already 3 to 4 million. He's saying, I want this one nation to be 3 to 4 billion. One nation. And today he said, well, there's 7 billion people on earth. We're overpopulated. God said, no, I just want the nation of Israel to be 3 to 4 billion. And let me explain something to you. We're being lied to. The world is not overpopulated. Los Angeles is overpopulated. New York City is overpopulated. But this world is not overpopulated. And this idea, and look, I think that we ought to be responsible with the environment. I think you should teach, I don't think you should just throw your trash out the window as you're going out the highway. I don't think that's right. And we should do our best to be responsible with those things and to not try to destroy the earth. And God actually has, something against those who destroy the earth. There's a judgment for those who destroy the earth. But let me tell you something. This world will be here as long as God wants it to be here. And by the way, this world was not meant to last forever. God himself will destroy it one day. And God, you know, here's what you got to understand. Either you believe God and you believe the Bible and you believe the fact that God himself will destroy this earth one day and it's been given to us for a time, and here God is telling one nation, I want you to be 3 to 4 billion, or you believe the brainwashing, the satanic, environmental, worship nature brainwashing we're being taught today that says the world is overpopulated, we need less people, we need people to stop having children. See, God says it's a blessing. God says, I want you to replenish the earth. And there's a satanic brainwashing that the world is overpopulated, and the goal is to destroy individual nations. The goal is to destroy the strength of different nations, because you bring them down to 500 million and you can control 500 million. Now, 7 billion, you might have a problem controlling 7 billion. But 500 million, that's manageable. Here's the other agenda that we have, that they have. Keep your finger there in Genesis or Deuteronomy. But go with me to the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Keep an open mind, all right? Let's look at this together. 1 Timothy chapter 5. In the New Testament, you find the T-books. You got 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1, 2 Timothy, Titus. Find the T-books. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. Here's the other satanic brainwashing that Satan has tried to get us to swallow, is that women need not stay home and raise their children. They need to go get a career. Are you there in 1 Timothy chapter 5? Look at verse number 14. Notice what the Bible says. I will therefore that, now I want you to notice that word will. You know what the word will means? People have to say, I want to know what God's will for my life is. Listen, young ladies, you want to know what God's will for your life is? It's right here, 1 Timothy 5:14. I will therefore that the younger women, here's God's will, that the younger women run for president, become the first woman president. Is that what it says? I will therefore that the younger women become astronauts and go to the moon, which probably didn't happen. I will therefore that, you know, notice what he said, that they become the CEO of eBay, that they become the governor of the state of California. Here's what he says. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. You know what God's will is for a young lady? Is that she gets married, that she has children, and she guides the house. And you know what? And people say, well, I can't believe you would say that. You know what I'm offended about, and I'm sick and tired of people just downgrading the job of a mother? And acting as if, you know, a woman putting on a pair of pants and going off to work somewhere and running some business is more important than a mother who stays home and guides her house and raises her children and loves her children. You know what the greatest thing that any human being can do on this earth is to raise another human being and a child? There's nothing wrong with that. But today we've been brainwashed and young ladies are being told, oh, no, if you want value to your life, go get a job. If you want value to your life, go get a career. No, God says the greatest value to your life, young lady, is to have children, to bear the house, to guide the house, to bear children. Go to Proverbs chapter number 31. Proverbs chapter number 31. If you open your Bible right in the center, you're following the book of Psalms, go to the book of Proverbs. Let me say this. There are, you know, if you're here today, you say, well, I'm a lady and I have a job or whatever. Listen, I'm not against you. I'm not mad at you, or, you know, I don't have this idea, and I always think it's funny when people have this position, like, where I have to be mad at everybody in order to be right. I have to make, you know that I could have a position, and you can have a position, and they could be different positions, and we can still be friends. I don't need to get you to agree with everything. I want to tell you what the Bible says, and I'd encourage you to, if you're going to argue it from the Bible. Don't tell me, well, here's what I think. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what I think. All that matters is the word of God. But let me show you what the Bible says about a woman that raises children. Proverbs 31, verse 28. Notice what the Bible says. This is the virtuous woman. This is the great chapter of womanhood in the Bible. Notice what the Bible says, Proverbs 31, 28. Her children. It doesn't say her administrative assistant. It doesn't say her co-workers. It doesn't say her, you know, executive assistant. It doesn't say her, you know, labor union. Says, her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou tellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works. Say, well, does she work? If you raise children at home, you realize that that's work. You know, and I'm offended about it, and I'm saying this out loud because I don't want it. I just don't want to hear this anymore, this idea. People will say to my wife, like, oh, you don't work? You stay home with the kids? She works harder than any woman that goes out to work. I'll tell you that right now. You know why? She doesn't get any 15-minute breaks. She doesn't get an hour break. She doesn't go on 2 weeks vacation. She's on call. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's work raising children. And, you know, this idea that you're less. Listen, ladies, if you stay home and you raise your kids, praise the Lord for you. And don't let anybody ever undermine that or let you think. And you know, the problem that I found is that we have young ladies today who are having children. And then they're like, oh, I struggle with this. I want to go back to work. What's wrong with you? God gave you a child. God gave you a living soul. And you want to go hand that child off to some stranger so you can go make a paycheck? So after 30 years, they can give you a gold watch and say, hey, great, you worked here for 30 years. Hey, raise those kids for the glory of God. And you know this is true. When America was great, mom stayed home and raised her kids. America has gone downhill since the women went off to work. And I'm not against you. There are women in our church that have to work, and that's the position they're in. There are single moms, and they don't have. I'm not against you, but listen, I'm not going to compromise what the Bible says. And I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and tell you God's will for your life, God's perfect will, is that a woman marry, bear children, guide the house, and that's the best thing that you could do with your life. And it's not belittling. It's not, you know, and you'll find the most fulfillment. And some of you women need to just get your hearts right with God when you think it's better to go off to work and leave your kids somewhere. And, you know, this idea, well, you know, I'm going to find my fulfillment in a job. There's something wrong with your heart. You need to ask God to work on your heart to show you if your heart's right with the Lord. But here's what I'm just saying. There's a satanic brainwashing that it's wrong to have kids. You can't have children. It's bad to have children. And by the way, let me say this. Well, you know what? Go to Genesis 20. Let me show you what the Bible says, then I'll make some more statements that you won't like. But that's okay. Genesis chapter 20. While you're turning there, let me explain something to you about Verity Baptist Church. My job is not to be your friend. I want to be your friend. Well, I want to be some of your guys' friends. Some of you guys, you know, whatever. I want to be your friend, but that's not my job. My job is to preach the Bible. And I'd rather preach the Bible and not be your friend than be your friend and not preach the Bible. Genesis chapter 20, I only need one friend. Well, I need two friends, Jesus and my wife. And they're both on board with me on this, so I think we're good. Genesis chapter 20, look at verse 17. Notice what the Bible says. Genesis chapter 20, verse 17. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants and bare children, for the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. I want you to understand something. The Bible teaches that God is the one that opens and closes the womb. God is the one that gives children. And God is the one that allows people to have children and to not have children. And let me show you something here in the scripture. You're there in Genesis chapter 20. Go to Genesis chapter number 25 and look at verse number 20. Genesis chapter number 25 and verse number 20. Let me say something to the ladies in our church that are maybe struggling with having children. There are maybe three or four ladies in our church right now that would like to have a child that are not able to. My wife and I have you on a special prayer list, and we pray for those ladies. You know, if you've asked us to pray, there might be some here that haven't ever told us that. But let me show you something in the Bible. In Genesis 25, look at verse 20. Why don't you notice what the Bible says? Genesis 25, 20. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife. Okay, the Bible tells us there that Isaac was 40 years old, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian, of Paddan Aram, the sister of Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife. Okay, that means he prayed. He entreated the Lord for his wife. Why did he entreat the Lord? Because she was barren, because she could not have children. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. So he marries his wife. She's not able to have children. He entreats the Lord. The Lord is entreated of him. Rebekah, his wife, conceived. Sounds like a great story, right? Answer to prayer, right? Isaac says, God, we want to have children. My wife can't have children. Would you give us children? And it sounds like God just gives them children immediately. But notice what the Bible says. Keep reading. Look at verse 22. And the children struggled together with her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over like an hairy man, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and he and his hand took hold of Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old. Did you catch that? Notice what it says. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. All right? Now, 80 years old is 60 years old. He was 40 in verse number 20 when he started praying. See, the verse makes it sound like he prayed and then he got a baby immediately. But do you realize they had to wait 20 years to get that baby? And let me just encourage some of you ladies that are struggling with having children. You know, God is the one that opens and closes the womb, but you may have to be patient. You may have to entreat the Lord. It may take 20 years. It took 20 years here for Isaac. But here's the encouraging part about in the Bible. If you study this in the Bible, and I'm not going to take the time to run the verses, but if you look at every woman in the Bible that was not able to have children, every woman in the Bible that was not able to have children and prayed and asked God to give her children eventually got a child. Every time. Because I believe that God does want to give, women children, and God does want to do that. Go to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter number 7. If you got your place in Proverbs, you go Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah. Now, let me go ahead and say this, and I got to be careful, but, let me make a few statements. Number one, this is why you shouldn't judge people, all right? Whatever camp you're in, if you're in the camp that, you know, having children is great, be fruitful and multiply, hey, don't look down at somebody and say, well, they only have one child, or they only have two children, or they don't have any children. They must be stopping that, or they must be not right with God. You know, you don't know. Some people have one child, and that's the only child that God gave them. And they wanted more children. God just gave them one. Or sometimes they didn't have any children, and that's what God did. You know, we shouldn't look down on people that maybe don't have children and assume that they're, you know, doing something to stop the pregnancy or whatever. We should not have that Pharisaical attitude if you're in that camp. But let me say this. If you're in the other camp that says, well, no, I agree with the Georgia Guidestones. I think having children is not a blessing. I think people should only have two kids. I think people should only have three kids. Hey, don't judge somebody because they got 14 kids. You know, I always think it's funny, this idea where I have to make everyone wrong to make me right. I don't have to sit there and I can believe something and you say, well, I disagree with that. That's fine. I'm still going to believe what I believe because I get it from the Bible. And you ought to believe what you believe because you get it from the Bible. I don't have to argue and fight with you about it, you know. But let me go ahead and say this also for ladies that maybe aren't able to get pregnant. God can give you a child. Is anything too hard for the Lord is what was said of God, what God said when Sarah laughed at the fact that she could have a child. But let me go ahead and say this. Let's not be, you know, silly to think that like, oh, all I got to do is pray and then God will give me a child. Because sometimes there are physical reasons why a person cannot have children. You know, going through pregnancy is very hard on the body of an individual. And if your body's not able to take on a pregnancy, it will not allow you to get pregnant. I mean, you can do research, and my wife has read a lot of books and done a lot of research about these things, and it's a scientific fact. Your body requires a certain amount of fat on it to be able to have children. Your body sometimes requires some women to lose a certain amount of fat to be able to get children. Sometimes it's just a health problem or something that they need to get checked out or work on or whatever. You know, they might have an issue that needs to be corrected. So I'm not sitting here saying, just pray. And, you know, sometimes you need to take a few steps to kind of get in that direction. But here's the point that I'm trying to make. I believe God wants everyone to be fruitful and multiply. And in the Bible, everyone who had a child had a child. Sometimes they have to wait a long time, though. Sometimes they have to be patient. But let me go ahead and say this. Are you there in Isaiah chapter 7? Because I'm kind of just giving you a lot of thoughts. We're going to put this all together in a second. Number one, God wants you to be fruitful and multiply. It's a satanic agenda that says children are bad. Don't have a lot of children. It's Satan who's taught you that because God says it's a blessing to have children. But let me go ahead and say this. The Bible teaches that life begins at conception. And let me show that to you from the Bible. And I could just say that and you can agree with it and praise the Lord for it. But let me show you what the Bible says. Are you there in Isaiah chapter 7? Look at verse number 14. We've seen this before, but let's look at it together real quickly. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, the Bible says this. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. This is about Jesus. It says, behold, a virgin shall conceive. I want you to notice that word, conceive. Do you see that? Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, keep your finger there in Isaiah chapter 7 and go with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 1. Keep your finger in Isaiah. We're going to come right back to it. But go to Matthew chapter 1 and look at verse number 23. Now, in Matthew 1:23. We have Isaiah 7:14 being quoted. Notice what the Bible says. In Isaiah 7:14, it says, behold, a virgin shall conceive. Notice what Matthew 1:23 says. It says, behold, a virgin shall be with a blob of tissue. Is that what it says? Behold, a virgin shall be with an embryo. Is that what it says? Behold, a virgin shall be, with a blastocyst. Is that what it says? No, it says, behold, a virgin shall be with child. Now, Isaiah 7:14 says, behold, a virgin shall conceive. And then Matthew 1:23 says, behold, a virgin shall be with child. Look, do you believe in the King James Bible being God's inspired, preserved, holy word? Amen. I mean, you think that God just makes weird mistakes? You think the Holy Spirit doesn't know what he's talking about? Do you think when the Holy Spirit wrote Matthew 1:23, he was not aware of the fact that in Isaiah he used the word conceive, and in Matthew 1:23 he said to be with child? You say, well, that's a contradiction. No, here's what the Bible's trying to teach us. When someone conceives, they are with child. Because life begins at conception. When there is conception at that moment, it's a child. It doesn't become a child. It doesn't become a child when it gets implanted. It doesn't become a child when a heart starts beating. It doesn't become a child after. The Bible says here, behold, the virgin shall conceive. And then he says, behold, the virgin shall be with child. You say, why does he say that? Because as soon as there's conception, there's a child. Because according to the Bible, life begins at conception. You don't have to turn there, but Hebrews 11:11 says this, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. Notice that conceiving is associated to seed, to the seed of a man. Why? Because life begins at conception. In Jeremiah chapter 1, let's go there. If you got your place in Isaiah, the next book is Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1. A child in the womb is alive. A child in the womb is a person. A child in the womb. Notice what God said about Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, he says, before I formed thee, before he was formed, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. God said, before Jeremiah was formed, he already knew him. He'd already ordained him. He'd already had a mission for him. And here's what I understand. Life begins at conception. That's why, as Christians, we should be against abortion. Because abortion ends life. After conception, if a child, if they're 3 months old in that womb, they're already a child. They're already a person. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, well, I've had an abortion. Look, I'm sorry you had an abortion. I don't hate you. I'm not against you. Ask God to forgive you of your sin. Confess it to God. Repent of it. Don't ever do it again. But here's the thing. It doesn't change the fact that abortion ends a life because life begins at conception. But let me take it a step further. Did you know that birth control ends life after conception? Today there are many, because society tells us it's bad to have children. You only want 2.5 kids. Because if you have 2.5 kids, you can still live in the nice neighborhood, you can still drive the nice cars, you can still go on that cruise once a year. You don't want to be like these Neanderthals that have 5 kids, 8 kids, 14 kids. I mean, those people are ignoramuses. Those people are insane. Get your 2.5 kids and you'll be happy. And that goes against what God teaches, because God says, be fruitful, multiply, and it's a blessing. It's a good thing. And it's this agenda of Satan to bring the population down, to bring us down to 500 million. But, today there are the birth control, and, that's why I teach and preach, we are against birth control. I don't care what you do personally, but I'm saying we teach against it. We don't think women should take birth control pills because they end life after conception. You say, well, what are you talking about? Let me read for you from an article. This is not written by a fundamental Baptist. This comes from WebMD. I mean, it's just a secular website, where you can get general doctor, information. Let me read for you from WebMD. It says, this is how does hormonal contraception work, all right? And contraception is probably not the right word to be using there, but this is their word. So I'm just going to read for you what they said. These are not my words, just so you understand that. It says, a woman becomes pregnant when an egg released from her ovary, the organ that holds her egg, is fertilized by a man's seed. I'm going to change that word to seed, use the Bible word. The fertilized egg attaches to the inside of a woman's womb, her uterus, where it receives nourishment and develops into a baby. Now, I don't agree with that statement. They said develops into a baby. That is a baby as soon as there's conception, according to the Bible. But these people are obviously secular, and they believe in abortion, so they have to use these words. It's going to develop into a baby. No, it is a baby. It's already conceived. It's already a human. But it says hormones in the woman's body control the release of the egg from the ovary called ovulation and prepare the body to accept the fertilized egg. Hormonal contraceptives, which is the pill, the patch, the ring, whatever, all contain a small amount of man-made estrogen and progestin hormones. These hormones work to inhibit the body's natural cyclical hormones to prevent pregnancy. Pregnancy is prevented by the combination of factors. The hormonal contraceptive usually stops the body from ovulating. Now, this happens, this is my words, it doesn't say this. This happens 40 to 95% of the time. You can find that in the, you know, research that. That happens 40 to 95% of the time. With 5 to 60% of the time, an egg is released, okay? So I want you to understand, here's how birth control pills work, all right? There's three ways that they stop a pregnancy. The first one is they just stop a woman from releasing an egg. Because obviously a woman goes through a monthly cycle, an egg is released. If there's no fertilization, there's no conception, the seed never touches the egg, then that egg is discarded and no life. But if a man's seed touches that egg, you have conception, you have life. That's what the Bible says, all right? So here's how the pills work. They keep a woman from releasing the egg. Now, if that happens, then there's no conception and whatever. There's no end to life. But that doesn't happen all the time, because here's what you understand. These pills work 99% of the time, but it only keeps a woman from releasing an egg 40 to 95% of the time. So there's a range there of 5 to 60% of the time. You know what happens? Here's the other steps. Hormonal contraceptives also change the cervical mucus to make it difficult for the sperm to go through the cervix and find an egg. So let's say that it fails and a woman releases that egg. What it does, it increases, we're told here in this article, the mucus to make it difficult for the sperm to go through. So here's what it does. The egg is surrounded by this mucus, so the sperm cannot make contact with the egg, so there's no conception. Okay, you know, whatever. No life ends there. But let's say that fails also. Here's the last factor. Hormonal contraceptives also change the cervical mucus to make it difficult for the sperm to go through the cervix and find an egg. If that doesn't work, then hormonal contraceptives can also prevent pregnancy by changing the lining of the womb so it's unlikely the fertilized egg will be implanted. Now, please understand this, okay? The egg is already fertilized. And then it goes to implant on the wall. When it implants on that wall, it gets its nourishment there. It gets its strength there. That's how it grows. These pills will keep an egg that's already fertilized. It's already conceived. It's already alive. It'll keep it from being able to attach, from being able to have that umbilical cord to its mother and literally starve it to death, a living human being that God calls a child. And today you have Christian women. And look, I'm not dumb, I'm not trying to offend you, I'm not upset with you, but there's women in this room that are taking birth control. Statistically, there's women in this room taking birth control pills. And maybe you've never heard this before. This is all brand new to you. I'm not against you. I'm just trying to help you, and you need to realize this, that these pills are killing children. And here's what's funny, and funny is not the right word, but here's what's interesting, is you have Christians all, you know, up in an uproar about the abortion holocaust in America and Roe versus Wade, and we can't believe they're killing these children, when Christian women are killing their own children in their womb by taking these pills. Because here's what it does. It stops the egg from releasing. If that fails, then it puts a mucus around the egg so there can be no conception. But if that fails and conception happens and fertilization happens, then it just starves the child to death. And 99% of the time, that's how it keeps a woman from becoming pregnant. Look, just realizing that should make every Christian and every Christian woman say, I'm never taking a birth control pill again. Because there's a possibility, and over a period of years of a woman taking this, without a doubt, you are killing at least a child, if not multiple children. And it's wrong. And we ought not do it. And sometimes I wonder if God is allowing all the filth and the judgment of God upon this country because God's people are buying into this idea, well, I can't have children, I got to have 2.5 kids because I want to go on my cruise, and so I'm going to take these pills and kill my own children and allow them to die. And you say, well, I don't think you should be preaching this. Look, somebody needs to stand up for these unborn children. Amen. That are dying. Because Christian women are, and because their husbands are too lazy or too covetous to say, no, we can't have children. The Georgia Guidestones, they told us. Look, the Word of God says it's a blessing. The Word of God says it's good. And here's what you got to understand. Birth control ends life after conception. And life begins at conception. And Christians should not be taking birth control because of these things. Because, look, God says it's a blessing. It's a good thing. Let me show you something else. We're almost done. Psalm 127. So I said, number one this morning, that God says it's a blessing to be fruitful and multiply. I said, number two this morning, that life begins at conception. God is the one that opens and closes the womb. God is the one that can give you children. And we ought not be killing children in order to keep from having pregnancies. But let me go ahead and say this. God's people need to multiply. God's people need to multiply. Are you there in Psalm 127? Look at verse number three. Psalm 127, 3. And, you know, maybe you're here this morning, you've never heard that before. You've never heard that. You say, I didn't know that's how birth control pills worked. I didn't know that at a certain percentage of the time, there is fertilization, there is conception, there is life, and it's starving that child to death. You know, maybe you didn't know that before. Ask God to forgive you and move on. But you, if you know it now and you continue to do it, you are a murderer. You are killing. And you're going to reap what you sow. Because God is not, you know, the Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Amen. And we ought to stand up for this idea. Psalm 127, look at verse 3. Notice what the Bible says. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. It's not a punishment. It's not a bad thing. He says it's his reward. Now notice verse 4. As arrows. I've preached this verse before, but I saw it in a new light this week when I was studying for the sermon. Notice what he says. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man. As arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Here's what he's saying. When a man is going into battle, because a mighty man, that phrase mighty man in the Bible, it's talking about a soldier. When a soldier is going into battle, the idea here is you got a man with a bow and arrow, and he says those arrows are like the children. He said, it's like a man going into battle with these arrows. Now, here's what he says, verse 5. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. If you're going into battle, how many, and your weapon is a bow and arrow, how many arrows would you like to go into battle with? 2.5 or 5? 2.5 or 10? 2.5 or 12? Here's what he says. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. And here's what I want you to say. Would you say today, do you understand this, that we are in a spiritual warfare? You understand that we're in a spiritual battle? Would you say today that biblical Christianity is losing or winning the fight in America today? Well, let's think about this, okay? 3,000 children are being murdered every day through abortions, not counting the millions uncounted for that are being aborted by even Christian women taking birth control pills. Sodomy just got legalized, saying that a man and a man can get married. You know, I don't think we're winning in America today. I think the forces of evil are winning. And I think here's the problem. We're going into battle with not that many arrows. See, these children, they're the weapon. These children, they're the future. These children, God says, they're like the weapon that's going to win the battle. And why are we losing the battle? Because we're not fighting with the weapons. Are you there in Psalm, in the book of Psalms? Go to Psalm 12, look at verse 1. Let me show you what the Bible says. Psalm 12, look at verse 1. Notice what the Bible says. Psalm 12, verse 1. The Bible says this, help, Lord. That's what I'm saying this morning. Help, Lord. Why are you saying help, Lord? Notice what he says. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. And the faithful, don't miss this, the faithful fail from among the children of men. You know what we're told today? That Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world. I don't think it's because they're converting people. They don't have an Islamic Billy Graham going around having these meetings and thousands of people are coming to Islam. In fact, they're killing more people than they're converting. But you know what the Nation of Islam is doing? They're having children. Their fastest growing religion. Mormonism is one of the fastest growing religions in America. You know why? They're having children. You know that the Catholic Church is the largest, most powerful false religion in this world. And for years, for hundreds of years, they taught against birth control and they taught their people to have children. No wonder they're the largest, most powerful force to be reckoned with. And you've got independent fundamental Baptists that have the Word of God, that have the truth of God, that have the answer to America, that have the gospel, and we say, no, let Islam have children, let the Mormons have children, let the Catholics have children. I just want my 2.5 because I got a cruise to go to. Because I want to go check out Alaska. And Islam comes in with 14 arrows. The Catholics come in with 14 arrows. And you and I want to come in with 2.5 arrows. And we wonder, why are we losing the battle? Maybe because we don't have the weapons. Maybe because we're selfish. Maybe because we're covetous. You know, what I'm getting tired of in American Christianity today is how covetous of a people we are. Everything, all our decisions are determined on jobs, money, health care. Why don't you let God take care of you? Why don't you say, hey, happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. We're losing the battle today. See, here's the problem. If I have 3 kids and my 3 kids have 3 kids each, what is that? I'm not good at math. 9? That's 9. What if I have 6 kids and my 6 kids have 6 kids? Hey, that's better than 9. I'm going into battle, I'd rather have 36 with me instead of 9. You understand what I'm saying? And we're losing the battle because we don't have arrows. We're going into battle. We say, where are my arrows? Well, they're all gone. I only had 2. I only had 3. Hey, look, I'm not here to tell you have as many kids as you. All I'm saying is this. God says it's a blessing to have children. And I would submit to you this. I'm a young man. I'm only 30 years old. I would submit to you this, that when you're on your deathbed, you're not going to be asking, can you bring my coworkers for me to talk to? You know that manager I had? He was real nice. Can you bring him here to talk to? You know what you're going to be asking for? Those arrows. You know what you're going to want to see? Those kids, those grandkids, those great-grandkids. You're not going to say, oh, remember my old coworker? Bring my old coworker here. We had such great barbecues. Children are a blessing. And today we're being told they're a curse. Today we're being told they're not good. Today we're being told, no, don't have them. They're not good. Let me give you one more thing. We'll finish up. Go to 2 Chronicles 25. I was kidding about the math thing, but that is why I hired Brother Stuckey, because he's good with math. He's really good. Look, what's 9 times 9? Wow, see that? Yeah, that's impressive. 2 Chronicles 25, look at verse 1. Someone gave me a calculator, so now I don't know what we're going to do with Brother Second. Anyway, Second Chronicles 25, okay? Because here's what people ask. It always comes back to this, the almighty dollar. And here's what people will often say to me. Pastor Jimenez, you don't understand. See, right before you preached the sermon, I went out and I bought a brand new car that only sits 4 people. And if you bought a brand new car yesterday, I don't know it, okay? I'm not talking about you. And here's the problem. If I have another child, I'm going to have to buy another car. Or they'll say, Pastor Jimenez, you understand? My house only has 3 rooms in it. And it's a really nice house. And I really like my neighborhood. And I can't afford to get a bigger house in that neighborhood. I might have to go live in the ghetto. You know, there's a house next to me. You can come live with me, you know, in my street. And I might not be able to live in a real nice house if I have more children. Or here's what people often say to me. My wife got this degree. And she spent all this money, and she has all these loans, and now you're saying for her to have children and to stay home, and we spent all this money, you know, we're invested into this idea, we can't have children. My wife has this great job. My wife makes more money than I do, whatever. Are you there in 2 Chronicles 25? Look at verse 1. I just want to show you a story in the Bible. Just give you something to think about. 2 Chronicles 25, verse 1. Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his brother's name was Jehoiada of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He's kind of like some of us, but not with a perfect heart. I mean, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not completely. Not all of it. That's what that phrase means. Now, look at verse number 6, okay? Here's what happened. He's got a problem. He's got to go to war, okay? Verse 6. He hired also 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel for 100 talents of silver. So he gets all these guys together. He realizes, I don't have enough guys to fight. So he hires another nation, the nation of Israel, because he's the king of Judah. And he hires their military to help him fight this battle for 100 talents of silver. Okay, so he got invested into this deal, 100 talents of silver, verse 7. But there came a man of God. See, that's what men of God do. They mess everything up for you. But there came a man of God to him, saying, O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee, for the Lord is not with Israel, to wit with all the children of Ephraim. Here's what he's saying. He hires these guys to help him win the battle. Then the man of God comes and he says, oh, hey, by the way, God doesn't want those people fighting with you. Those are bad people. Send them home. Now notice verse 8. But if thou wilt go, do it, be strong for the battle, God shall make thee fall before the enemy. He says, if you're going to go ahead and fight with those guys, go ahead and do it. God's going to make you fall. For, you got to underline this in your Bible. For God hath power to help and to cast down. And Amaziah said to the man of God, notice what he says. So same question some of you are asking right now, verse 9. But what shall we do for the 100 talents which I've given to the army of Israel? He says, well, here's the problem. I already gave them all this money, and they're not going to give me a refund. They said all sales are final. What am I going to do? And here's what some of you are asking. What am I going to do with my wife's degree? What am I going to do with this new car that I just bought? What am I going to do? I just booked that cruise. I just bought this house. You know, what am I going to do? Notice what I love what the man of God says. And Amaziah said to the man of God, but what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel? And the man of God answered, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Here's what he said. You got invested into the wrong thing, but you know what? God can provide, God can help, and God can give you more than this. Say, well, I'd have to move. Let God deal with it. Well, we don't live on one income. Let God deal with it. God can give you more than this. Whatever investment you've made because you listened to the stupid society we live in and they told you to do stupid things, hey, just say like Paul, I count it all but dung. It's trash. It's in the past. But you know what? Trust God. Because here's what I love. God had the power to help. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God can help you? Do you believe that? Do you have to lean on your own understanding all the time? Get your little mouse running up there and trying to figure out how we're going to do this thing. Look, I'm not trying to get you to say, Pastor Man, what are you trying to do? Okay, here's what I'm really trying to do. I'm not going to get you guys to have kids because we're going to build this church one way or another. You know what I mean? We're going to grow this thing, all right? Let me say this. All Christians used to believe this. This is not today it's like, this is a radical thing. You know there was a time when all Christians believed this? I've got some quotes here that Pastor Anderson gave me from a famous preacher, John R. Rice. John R. Rice, if you look at our hymn books are from the Sword of the Lord. John R. Rice was the founder of the Sword of the Lord. He's a great fundamental Baptist, a hero of the faith. John R. Rice said this, birth control measures, if generally practiced, would be disastrous to public morals and public welfare. John R. Rice said this, the use of artificial means, drugs, and appliances to prevent conception has been for centuries been regarded as immoral, wrong for the individual, and dangerous for society as a whole. Theodore Roosevelt said in a speech, birth control is sinful. And he said, birth control will bring the end of our nation. That's what a president of the United States said. And today we've been brainwashed to think, you know, a certain way. But listen, why don't you allow the word of God? Why don't you come to the Bible and say, what does God say? And let me say this. Maybe you're here today and you say, I've never heard this before. You know, I went to work. I'm a mom, and I thought that was the right thing. I'm not against you. But, you know, we have some young families in this church, and I'm trying to warn you and help you and realize that the greatest thing you could do with your life, the greatest way to be blessed is to have children, to be fruitful and multiply. Because guess what? The hope for America is not Donald Trump. It's not Tim Cruz, it's not Marco Rubio, it's not Hillary Clinton. The hope for America are the children being raised in this church that are going to grow up to love God and be zealous for souls. And here's what you got to understand. If you're part of this church, you say, this is my church home, I consider this my church. Maybe you're a mom, you stay home, you homeschool your kids, you're raising your children to live godly. You have something special in your house. There are so many people that would have loved to have been raised in a house like the one you are providing for your children. And you want to limit that to 2 kids, 3 kids? Why don't you just have multiple kids? Why don't you get as many arrows into this fight? Let's raise up an army of soul winners, separated, godly young children that are going to grow up and going to take this country by storm. The greatest impact that we could make for our nation is to populate it by godly people. But you know who's having children? The derelict. You know who's having children? The guy that's not raising his kids, is not supporting his kids, he's impregnating women, leaving them. They're having children. You know, all the derelicts, the drug addicts, they're having children. They're not caring for them. This is the lie that Satan has given us. You know, let Muslims have children, let Catholics have children, let derelicts have children, and then let God's people, let's limit those people. We don't want a lot of those people. And we're falling for it. Hook, line, and sinker. Because you don't understand. I really like my house. And I want to take this opportunity just as we end, just to explain to you a couple of things. If you're interested, we have a documentary that Faithful Word gave us a while ago called "The Truth About Birth Control." It goes into a lot of detail about birth control. If it's something you're interested in, I think we have 16 back there or something. They're free. If you're more interested in getting more information about this, grab one of these. It explains a lot, goes into a lot of details. It's interesting. Want to give this to you as a gift if it's something you're interested in. You know, especially if you're a mother, a young lady, you know, we'll give you priority for taking these. But let me take an opportunity to say this. When I'm getting up here and preaching this is not rhetoric for me. This is not, you know, like, I'm just up here because I've got to say something, you know. I believe this, and I think this is right, and I think it's good, and I just want to take the opportunity right now to publicly announce that my wife is expecting, all right? So, amen. All right, let's